Now this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you from a passage in the Bible that God's been speaking to me about for actually a couple of years now. And I shared in part at youth about 18 months ago on this passage. It's in Matthew 14. If you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn there. This is a story that's actually in all four of the Gospels. And I love that because I feel like Jesus has something he really wants to tell us in this story. It was there four times. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into it and read the Word of God. Father, we love your Word. Father, we thank you for the Word of God in the Bible, the double-edged sword that equips us to do your will. Lord, we want to leave here changed and challenged. We want to leave here with a fresh revelation of your kingdom, of who you are, of how you love us, of the faith adventure that you've called us onto. Father, would you open our hearts this morning as we read your word? Amen. Okay. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed those who were sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him, and they said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Can you send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food?" And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only five loaves of bread and two fish," they answered. In the John chapter 6 version of this, we know that it's a small boy who came forward with five loaves and two fish. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Okay. Our story starts with when Jesus heard what had happened. What had happened? What had just happened is that Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, who was a faithful man of God, who had been serving God, and he was a friend of Jesus's, he'd just been murdered. And Jesus was really affected by this. We know that Jesus had completely human emotions. We know that he was fully man and fully God, and that this really affected him. And so, in case we had any doubt, it tells us in four words, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He needed some time alone. He needed some time out. He was like, "Do you know what? I just need to not be with everybody else right now." Okay, so he got in a boat and he would have gone onto the water, and he would have had some Psalm 23 time. He would have had some, "Lead me beside still waters and restore my soul, God." We know from other passages in scripture that Jesus often withdrew to pray. Okay, it doesn't say that specifically here, but it wouldn't be an unfair assumption that Jesus was praying, that he was spending time with God, that he was perhaps even asking questions. It's okay to sometimes ask questions. Perhaps Jesus was saying, "God, I didn't really think it was going to work out like this. Or was this exactly what you had planned, God? Because this really hurts." But we see that even whilst he was taking some time out, he saw the crowd. Do you know, you can't see something if your eyes are closed. You can't see something if you're in your room with the door shut. You can't see something if you stay home and go, "Do you know what? I think I'm done with ministry. I think I'm done. I'm just going to pull back." You don't see the lost. But Jesus had his eyes open, and he saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them. How can somebody so just covered in grief step out into ministry? How can they do that? Because he knew his identity in God the Father was that he was the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. Jesus knew that there was a people in darkness and they needed him. They needed to see him. And so he could have arrived on that boat and gone, do you know what? I'm just going to push back off and I'm going to go back into the middle of the lake and I'm just going to hang here. I'm going to spend some time by some still waters. Let God restore my soul. But just like in Psalm 23, it then says, he leads us to quiet waters and then we walk in paths of righteousness. We don't stay resting. We do rest. We take time out. We say, God, would you restore me? Would you fill me? Would you help me? God, I'm hurting. But then we walk in paths of righteousness. And so Jesus knew his identity as the light of the world. And so he said, I'm not going to stay on this boat. This is really hard, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to do what God's called me to do today. And there's so much challenge for us in this because it's so natural that when you're in pain to pull back. It's so natural to say, do you know what? I don't think I can step out in that ministry anymore. I don't think I want to lead that anymore. It's too painful. But when you're isolated, when you're in your room with the door shut, do you know who can come calling? The enemy. And he comes to whisper lies. He might come and whisper things like, did you really think God had everything under control? Or he might whisper things like, they don't need you out there. It's going just fine without you. You don't have anything to bring. Just stay in here. Just stay. But do you know what you say to the enemy when he comes to say that to you? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says to you, you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So do you know what? Even when you don't feel like it, even when things are hard, Jesus says you're the light of the world. That you carry him in you. That because Christ died and was resurrected, you have the Spirit of God in you. That Christ lives in you. That you are the light of the world. Do you know that? Can you guys help me out? Yes, yes. You're the light of the world. You have something to bring. You have something to bring, and that is the love of God. And people aren't going to see that when we stay in our rooms, when we stay battling with confusion. We need to walk out in paths of righteousness and say, I am the light of the world. So even though I don't know what's going on, I don't know how I'm going to do it, by the power of the Holy Spirit and God's strength in me, I'm going to walk out and be the light of the world today. Because you have something that God wants you to bring. Okay, so let's go back to our story. We've got the disciples who come to Jesus and say, Jesus, everyone is getting hungry. Okay, put your hand up if you've got a teenage boy in your household. All right. Hungry teenage boys have got something about them, haven't they? It's like, what's in the fridge? Oh, nothing. When's dinner ready? Oh, what's in this cupboard? Mom, there's no food in the house. Still nothing in the fridge. When's dinner ready? And you've got 5,000 hungry men, plus women and children. Hungry children are delightful too, aren't they? Okay, so you can assume there's probably quite a bit of chaos that the disciples have gotten to the point where, like, Jesus, everyone is hungry. Can you just send them home so they can sort themselves out? This is too much chaos for us to deal with. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And somehow they find this boy with his lunch. And my mind just kind of goes wild when I think about how they found him. Like, I wonder if he was like in the corner and he was like, oh, well, I've got my lunch. And I'm pretty hungry, so I'm just going to open my lunchbox. And then all the people around were like, just like Summer when I have chocolate. She's like, Mommy, you smell like chocolate. And I'm like, oh, it's nothing, dear. And they might have been like, there's food. There's food over here. 5,000 hungry men all sort of heading over to this little boy. And he's like, Or maybe he was in the front row. And having received revelation from Jesus, having heard his teaching, having seen him heal people who had no hope, he said, you know what? I don't know if you can use this because there is a lot of chaos going on here. But maybe you could use my lunchbox. Maybe you could use this. And perhaps he thought, even if I just feed Jesus. But he was willing to give what he had, even though it left him with nothing. He was willing to give what he had, even though it meant that he might have gone hungry. That he might not have had enough or the strength to get home. He was willing to give the very last thing that he had. And do you know what happened? Jesus didn't say, oh, how pathetic. How do you think I can feed all these people with that? Jesus said, thank you. And he said a blessing and he fed everyone. And he didn't just feed them a little bit. They didn't all just feel like they had just enough to get home. He fed them and they were satisfied. And there were leftovers. Jesus did an amazing, amazing miracle. Because, you know, when you give a gift that costs you, kingdom power is released. When you give a gift that actually leaves you in a place of vulnerability and trust on God, when you give a gift that costs you, that's your very last little bit left, kingdom power is released. And how do we know this? Because Jesus did it. Because he was one man. He was one man, and yet he went to the cross for us. He went to the cross, and he might have been saying, God, really, I'm one man for these billions and billions of people. And God said, no, that's enough, because you are pouring out everything. You are pouring out everything. You are pouring out everything, and kingdom power was released, and death was defeated, and sin couldn't stand anymore, because Jesus gave everything for you. Absolutely everything. And so when we have the opportunity to give everything, we start to move in that same power as the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We start to move in kingdom power. But how do we get to a place where we can do that? In our day-to-day lives, how do we get to a place where we feel like we can say to God, God, you take this. I'm going to give you some highs and lows of my faith journey. The first thing that God needed to teach me, and by all means, I'm definitely not there. Just so you know, I'm not preaching out of, I've nailed this. I'm preaching this out of, God is teaching me every day about this. Okay? The first thing God needed to teach me was right there in the Lord's Prayer. About 18 months ago, God called me again and he said, I want you to study the Lord's Prayer verse by verse. And so each day I would kind of go and I would just meditate each verse at a time. And when I got to give us today our daily bread, God said, right, stop there. That's where we're going to sit for a while. Give us today our daily bread. And God said to me, it doesn't say give us today our monthly bread or give us today our yearly bread. Or give us today what we need for retirement. It says, give us today our daily bread. And to illustrate it to me, a friend of mine at a very similar time sent out a text message. She just moved to the area and she said, I need some things. These are a few things that we need in our house. Does anybody have anything going spare that you could help us out with? And one of the things on there was a doona or a duvet for our international visitors or a blanket on your bed. And I thought, oh, actually, we do have one in storage, but Summer's going to need it, you know, because Summer was very soon going to move into a bed, and I thought, well, you know, it makes sense, that's Summer's. And I felt God say, no, you don't need that today. and your friend needs it today. He said, and you can trust me that when Summer needs one, I will provide one for her. And so I gave it. And I can testify that all our children have blankets on their bed today. You know, but God was teaching me in just that little thing. You don't need it today. Okay? You can trust me. I'm going to give you your daily bread. Every day, I've gone before you. I know what you need each day. And to try and keep getting this to us, God has been teaching Sam and I in the way that we spend our money. And he kept on asking us to give away our savings to the point that it was getting a bit frustrating because I was like, God, is it even worth me going to work? And I would sometimes get called up to do overtime and Sam would be like, yeah, do it. It's good money. And I'd be there and I'd be like, okay, I'll do the overtime. And then God would ask us to put the money in the offering and I was getting a bit cross because I was like, God, can't you see how tired I am? What are you doing? And God said to me, you need to ask me before you take that shift, Chloe, because I'm going to provide for you whether you take it or not. I've got your daily bread sorted. So you need to ask me what my plan is for you today, and it might include that. It might be that God wants me to be in that room looking after that woman tonight and that I'm the right person to do that. But it also might be that God wants me to go home and rest, spend time with him, spend time with my family. And he just kept saying to me, I've got your daily bread sorted. You don't need to strive. I've got it sorted. You can trust me. You can trust me. And then God started challenging me with my time. So about a year ago, I've kind of felt God say that he wanted me to go along to youth sometimes. And Sam kind of said to me, Chloe, you don't really have the time. Like, are you sure you can do that? Do you have the energy? I don't want to be picking up the pieces in August. And I said, no, the Holy Spirit says. So I think it's going to be all right. And so I went a couple of times, just as I could, a couple of times a term. Sometimes I would preach there, and sometimes I would just be there. And about probably April, I went, and I was just there. They were having a worship time. I wasn't actually serving that night. And I stood in the presence of God, and these girls from youth came around me, and they said, Chloe, can we pray for you? And I was like, I'm here to do that for you. And they came and laid hands on me in the time of worship, being not directed by anybody. And they started to prophesy over me. Can I tell you what an awesome youth group we have at our church? Because those prophetic words were so spot on and so encouraging. God handed me a basket of leftovers. He said to me, did you think I would forget to feed you too? You know, the disciples were handing out the food. And then Jesus said, right, here is your basket of leftovers. Here is enough food to feed you and for you to take home. Here's enough. There's more than enough for you. You don't need to be afraid. When I call you into something, when the Holy Spirit says, right, step out and go there. And you go, I don't know if I've got the energy, but if the Holy Spirit is saying it, you go, then I'm going to trust that you are going to give me the energy. I'm going to trust that you are going to honor this. If the Holy Spirit is calling, then I don't want to say no. And with kids' worship, do you know, it was such a joy to lead kids' worship or lead the family service a few weeks ago. But I want to tell you that that was very much my 5 loaves and 2 fish offering. It was my way of going, God, I don't even have the energy to lead worship right now. And God said, well, what about just 10 till 10:30? And I said, okay, maybe I could do that. And I said, okay, and gave him my 5 loaves and 2 fish. In the middle of so much more that I didn't think I could fix or do. And he took it and he fed those kids and then he just gave me this basket of leftovers. He said, here, have some joy. You've spent some time with people who see the kingdom how it really is. You've spent some time with childlike faith. Have some joy. Have some faith. Have some excitement for the generation that's coming up. I was so blessed. I love serving those kids, and it actually probably blesses me more than it blesses them. I love it. And I want to say to you, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to learn about it, our kids' work and our youth are an awesome place to serve because the generation coming up after us is holding on with faith, and they are so encouraging. It is a beautiful place to sow your time. And here for a blooper. Last year, when it was gift day, Sam and I didn't have any savings. And I was kind of like, oh, phew, this has been getting pretty stressful. And so I sort of said to Sam, right, well, let's go pray about what we're going to give. And I went away and prayed, and Sam went away and prayed. And the amount that God had placed on my heart, I felt actually costed us. And I was quite nervous to share it with Sam. And then when we went and chatted together, I said, you go first. I was too nervous. I was like, I'm always the one who comes with a bit much, and like, where Sam's like freaking out. I said, you go first. And the amount that Sam said to me was 5 times the amount that I had on my heart. And I'm ashamed to say that I went away and I did the maths and I put it in the budget. And I said to Sam, if we give that much, we will be living in our car by the end of the month. And we didn't give it. We didn't give it. We still gave, and I felt it cost us, but we didn't give the ridiculous amount. But before the end of the month, we received into our bank account, as an unexpected bonus from Sam's old job, more than enough to cover the amount God had asked us to give. And I was so humbled, but I felt God say to me, I still love you, don't worry. But you could have come on a faith adventure with me. You could have come. And I want to be the kind of person who, like that boy, goes, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but here's my lunch. You can take it. I don't know if I'm going to be hungry, but actually I trust you that you are bigger than this. I trust that just like you clothe the fields, and just like you feed the animals, and just like you look after your creation, you're going to look after me. In Matthew 13, just before this miracle, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. In his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus is teaching us that his kingdom is worth everything, that his kingdom is a safe place to give everything you have. And he wants to bring us into a place of joy where we're people who are excited to say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but if the Holy Spirit's calling me to give some time or to give some money, then I want to be right where the action is. I want to be where kingdom power is going to be released because of the gift that cost me. I want to be sharing about Jesus' gift that cost him everything because it fed everybody. And I believe that when I step out in faith, God can do bigger things with it than I can imagine. He can feed more people than I think he can. Because we know that God doesn't fail.